Do you mean that the entire town would be in charge of us? Violet asked. That's a lot of people.
Well, I imagine they would take turns, Mr. Poe said, stroking his chin. It's not as if you would be tucked into bed by 3,000 people at once.
Schneiter!
Sunny shrieked. She meant something like, I prefer to be tucked into bed by my siblings, not by strangers. But Mr. Poe was busy looking through his papers on his desk and didn't answer her.
Apparently, I was mailed a brochure about this program several weeks ago, he said. But I guess it got lost somewhere on my desk. Oh, here it is. Take a look for yourselves.
Mr. Poe reached across his desk to hand them a colourful brochure, and the Baudelaire orphans took a look for themselves. On the front was the aphorism, "It takes a village to raise a child," written in flowery letters, and inside the brochure were photographs of children with such huge smiles that the Baudelaires' mouths ached just to look at them. A few paragraphs explained that 99% of the orphans participating in this program were overjoyed to have whole villages taken care of them, and that all the towns listed on the back page were eager to serve as guardians for any interested children who had lost their parents. The three Baudelaires looked at the grinning photographs and read the flowery aphorism and felt a little flutter in their stomachs. They felt more than a little nervous about having a whole town for a guardian. It was strange enough when they were in the care of various relatives. How strange would it feel if hundreds of people were trying to act as substitute Baudelaires?
"Do you think we would be safe from Count Olaf?" Violet asked hesitantly. "If we lived with an entire village?"
"I should think so," Mr. Poe said, and coughed into his handkerchief. "With a whole village looking after you, you'll probably be the safest you've ever been. Plus, thanks to the story in the Daily Punctilio, I'm sure Omar will be captured in no time."
"Olaf,"
Klaus corrected.
"Yes, yes," Mr. Poe said. "I meant to say Omar. Now, what villages are listed in the brochure? You children can choose your new hometown, if you like."
Klaus turned the brochure over and read from the list of towns. "Poultryville," he said. "That's where the Lucky Smells lumber mill was. We had a terrible time there."
"Calton,"
Sunny cried, which meant something like, "I wouldn't return there for all the tea in China." "The next village on the list is Tedia," Klaus said. "That name is familiar to me." "That's near where Uncle Monty lived," Violet said. "Let's not live there. It'll make us miss Uncle Monty even more than we already do." Klaus nodded in agreement. "Besides," he said, "the town is near Lousy Lane, so it probably smells like horseradish." "Here's a village I've never heard of. Ophelia."
"No, no," Mr. Poe said. "I won't have you living in the same town as the Ophelia Bank. It's one of my least favourite banks, and I don't want to have to walk by it when I visit you."
"Sounce,"
Sunny said, which meant that's ridiculous, but Klaus nudged her with his elbow and pointed to the next village listed on the brochure, and Sunny quickly changed her tune, a phrase which here means immediately said
"Gounce"
instead, which meant something along the lines of
"Let's live there."
"Gounce indeed,"
Klaus agreed, and showed Violet what he and Sunny were talking about. Violet gasped, and the three siblings looked at one another and felt a little flutter in their stomachs again, but this was less of a nervous flutter and more of a hopeful one, a hope that maybe Mr. Poe's last phone call really had solved all their problems, and that maybe what they read right here in the brochure would turn out to be more important than what they didn't read in the newspaper. For, at the bottom of the list of villages, below Poultryville and Tedia and Ophelia, was the most important thing they had read all morning. Printed in the flowery script on the back page of the brochure Mr. Poe had given them were the letters V.F.D.